better stop playing. I may start singing. Hallelujah. Amen. Sing, baby, sing. Revelation chapter 21. Revelations 21, 1 through 7. Amen. Thank the Lord. There are bifocals here. Hallelujah. I'll don these babies on. Wow, I can see. I can see. I can see. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been healed. Hallelujah. It's okay to smile. It's okay to have fun in church. All right, Revelation 21, verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwells with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with him and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he sat upon the throne, and behold, I make all these things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. Thank God. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Somebody shout all things. And I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. I want to talk to you tonight, and I don't know how long we'll go. I don't know how far we'll get into this, but I want to talk about John's revelation. And John's revelation is what we read. The book of Revelation is his revelation, but in the 21st chapter of Revelation, it's all about heaven. Somebody shout heaven. And so tonight I want to talk about his revelation. I want to talk about heaven, and I want to talk about the wonders of heaven. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there are wonders in heaven. Amen. And John, by his divine and supernatural encounter, he encountered heaven. And we don't talk really about heaven much. I mean, we allude to it. We really don't talk about hell much, and we may. I may go down that route Sunday night. Who knows? But tonight, we're going to talk about heaven. We're going to talk about the splendor. We're going to talk about the beauty. We're going to talk about a place that was prepared for you. Somebody shout, there is a place that is prepared for me. And so we talk about heaven. We talk about the wonders of heaven. And so the first wonder of heaven is heaven's existence. Revelations 21, verse 1. Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can I tell you tonight, there is a real place called heaven. Heaven really does exist. John said, I saw this holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, and it was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I don't know about you, but for me, that should make us shout. That should make us dance. It should make us rejoice. It should make us happy. It should make us joyful, because it isn't a fairy tale. It isn't a myth. It isn't a legend. It's not just a nice, sweet Sunday school story. But heaven is real. It's a real place. Tomorrow, you ought to put your shoulders back and raise your head up and just smile. And people say, what's going on with you? Why are you so happy? Because heaven's real. Because there really does exist a heaven, and I'm going to that place. I mean, you should get excited about that. A lot of you get excited about going on vacation. A lot of you get excited about going to Disneyland. Oh, we're going to Disneyland. We're going to see Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Oh, we're going to Red Lobster. We're going to Roadhouse. We're going to In-N-Out. We're going to a ball game. Watch a football game. I'm going to tell you, heaven's better than a ball game. Heaven's better than a restaurant. It's better than all the wonders of this world. Heaven's a place that we got to get excited about. I want to go to that place, don't you? Our Lord and Savior taught us to pray in Matthew 6:9. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Jesus said it like this in John 14. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you." I'm going to tell you, your house may be nice. Your house may not be nice. It may be a big house. It may be a small house. You may not have a house. But there is a mansion that's got your name on it. You think about it. God created all this in 6 days. He's been gone a long time, and he's on a building program for your mansion. And if all the wonders and all the splendor of this world and how beautiful things are, when we begin to see, sometimes when it gets clear, we could see the mountains and the snow-capped mountains out there in the distance. But I'm going to tell you, your mansion is just going to be so much nicer than what your eye has ever seen. So why are you happy? Because I got a mansion, and it's in heaven, and heaven is real. And Jesus said, "I'm going to go there." He's prepared that place for me. Somebody shout, "Heaven's real." And I got a mansion. I'm a king's kid. Man, I may have some butlers in there. I may be able to just mess up my bed and walk out and somebody makes my bed. I don't know. It's going to be nice. A great big mansion prepared for you and I. Heaven is real. The second wonder of heaven is this. Heaven is perfect. Not imperfect. We live in an imperfect world. You're imperfect. I'm imperfect. Your cars are imperfect. Well, Pastor, you haven't seen my car. Well, guess what? You drive it long enough, it's going to break down. Heaven ain't never going to break down. Heaven is perfect. Somebody shout, "Heaven's perfect." Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwells with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall" what? "Wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I don't know about you, but it doesn't get any perfect than that. God will dwell with us. He will be with us. He will be our God. The fact that he wants to dwell with unholy people, imperfect people, is beyond me. Yet God says, "I'm going to dwell with you." That's a wonder in of itself. A holy God dwelling with mankind. But not only that, listen to this, no more tears. No more death. No more mourning over there. No more crying. No more pain. No more sickness. No more cancer. No more heart attacks. No more strokes. No more Alzheimer's. No more ambulances. No more hospitals. No more dying. No more partying over there. That should make you happy. No more migraines. No more back aches. No more belly aches. No more heartburns. It's going to be a great place. All the things that brought us heartache and pain will not be in heaven. Why? because heaven will be a perfect place. There's an old song that says, oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land by and by? We'll see Jesus in that land. Hey, I'm telling you, it's a place that we've got to be happy about. We don't have to go there. We get to go there. Heaven's perfect. Somebody shout, heaven's perfect. The third wonder of heaven is this. The third wonder of heaven is the wonder of heaven's incredible size. Heaven is bigger than you've ever even imagined. Let's read Revelation 21:15. Bible says, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. So according to John, he's laid out a perfect cube. It is 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high. That means that there is nearly 2 million square miles just in the width and the length of it. Now listen, if heaven was laid out in stories, each story was 100 miles high, there would be 1,400 stories, each of which would have 1,960,000 square miles per story. You say, well, what's that mean? If you were to compare that to New York City, New York City is approximately 305 square miles in size. There are approximately 8.4 million people living in that 305 square mile area. This means that you could fit New York City and all its inhabitants inside one level of heaven approximately 6,500 times. That is 54 billion, 600 million per level. And if there are multiple levels, and we know that there are at least three levels, and surrounding this massive cube is a wall that is 20 or 200 feet thick. Trump has been talking about building a wall, but nothing like God can build, because God built a wall of jasper 200 feet thick. Yes, another wonder of heaven is the size of heaven. As Trump would say, it's going to be huge. Heaven is huge. It's a great place. It's a happy place. We got Trump going on in here. Hallelujah. He thinks he's going to make America better. No, God's going to make America better. How? By bringing heaven to us. Amen. And he doesn't have to get Mexico to buy the wall. He's already built the wall. Hallelujah. Fourth wonder of heaven. I better get off Trump. I'm getting in trouble. Fourth wonder of heaven is the wonder of heaven's incredible beauty. Revelations 21:11 says this, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall, great wall, and high, and 12 gates. At the gates were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Revelations 21:18. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all the manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. Somebody shout one pearl. Not pearls. One pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Everything that God creates is beautiful beyond description. I mean, you look at our world. Look at the moon. Look at the star. When it's crystal outside, you know, and you can look up. And what a beauty that is to look up and see the stars. And they all declare the glory of God. Look at the mighty oceans. Look at the winding rivers of the world. Look at the majestic mountains and the luscious green valleys. Look at the rainbow in the sky. After a rain or a blanket of fresh fallen snow, they all tell us everything that God creates is a masterpiece. We truly can't even comprehend just how beautiful heaven's going to be. And what John is describing for us, it is a place that is so glistening and so brilliant in color. It is as though John was looking at the most luxurious piece of jewelry that he had ever seen. And in verse 11, John describes the overall beauty of heaven as being like jasper that is clear as crystal. And the Greek word used for jasper in this verse refers to a completely clear diamond with brilliant light of God's radiant glory shining out of it. And the very foundation of heaven is made out of 12 precious gems. It's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible about the gems that begin to show colors. There's one that shows a purple gem. There's one that ranges from emerald green to a golden yellow. There's another that's a transparent gold to yellow tones. There's another that ranges from color again to yellow and emerald green. And the fourth John identifies is a deep red gem. And it's interesting the mix of colors in the brown family that he does, and it ranges from a beautiful sky blue to soft pink and can possess many stripes and sapphires, purple in color, and sardius is a beautiful red gem. And all of these, they show a different color. And John began to describe what he said. And he said, these are the foundation of heaven. And when the light shines through it, our eyes can't even really put a word to the beauty that it describes. What a wonder heaven's going to be. What a masterpiece that God has designed. So much beauty and splendor. And not to even mention the 12 gates, that each gate is made of a single pearl. How's a pearl made? Anybody know? An oyster, but how is it made? It's made through pain. It's made, it begins to, the sand gets in there and it irritates and it produces pain. And in that pain, it produces a pearl. And those 12 gates, those 12 giant gates of pearl is going to represent the price that Jesus paid at Calvary. Through his pain, through his suffering, we will go through the gates of pearl. No doubt when we get there, there will be beauty forevermore. I'm telling you, there is a place that really does exist, and it will blow your mind with the splendor and beauty of heaven. I'm looking forward to that place. The fifth wonder of heaven is the wonder of heaven's holiness. Can't have holiness without heaven. Revelation 21:22 says this, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. What he was saying was, there's going to be no temple, there's going to be no sun, there's going to be no moon, there's going to be no nights, and there's going to be no closed gates. You say, Pastor, why won't there be a temple? I'm going to tell you why there's not going to be a temple, because it's the presence of God. He is the temple. He's the one that brings the light, and everywhere he abides is the temple. That's why right now we walk around as not temples of ourselves, but the temples of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost just has a small portion in our imperfect lives. But when we get to heaven, we won't have a sanctuary, because God will be our sanctuary. He is our temple. No need for the sun, no need for the moon, because God will radiate. He will illuminate all of heaven. Why? Because he is the light. There'll never be a night. There'll never be darkness. Why? Because he reigns forever and ever. Thank God for that. The Lamb will be our light. And the gates of heaven will never be closed. Now here on earth, we close everything. We lock everything. My wife gets in the house, she locks. I mean, just everything's locked. Some of you are probably the same way. You got your windows bolted. You got your, you know, got three deadbolts on your door. You know, you're locked. You got keys. We lock everything, right? Now I don't. I have a bad habit that I'm just like a trusting person. I'm like, you know, if they take it, not a big deal. I've got a great insurance agent. We lock everything. But their heaven will not be locked. The gates won't close. Not in heaven. Why? Because of heaven's holiness. There'll be no night in heaven, and therefore there'll never be a need to shut heaven's gates. Without a doubt, the fifth wonder of heaven is heaven's holiness. We are holy because he is holy. The sixth wonder of heaven is this. The sixth wonder of heaven is the wonder of who won't be there. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? We want everybody. Not everybody going to be there. There's going to be a lot that are going to come to the Lord and say, hey, I preached in your name. I sang in your name. I did this in your name. I even prophesied in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. You worker of I don't even know you. There's going to be hypocrites that are going to stand there with a bated breath when he says, your name's not written here. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place because of things that will not be there. The ungodly will not be there. The backbiters will not be there. The knuckleheads will not be there. The offenders will not be there. The thieves, the murderers, they won't be there. Well, I was a drunkard. Well, you were, but you ain't now. I didn't always do the right things. Well, that's right, but now you're cleansed. That's a great thing about God, is right now we have a chance to change and break the curse. I don't care if daddy was an alcoholic. You don't have to be an alcoholic. I don't care if mom was a drug addict. You don't have to be a drug addict. Because 411, drug addicts ain't going to heaven. I said, Pastor, that's rough. No, they make that choice. That's why the gates don't have to be closed. Because we don't have to worry about someone breaking into our home, breaking into our mansion. Baby, I'm going to leave those windows wide open. I'm going to leave the front door wide open. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to kick off my shoes and just relax. Maybe have a cloud that I can float on. Not worry about nothing, because heaven's gates never get closed. Why? Because he dwells there. Amen. Revelation 21:27 says this, and there shall be in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They're the only ones going to heaven. Is this thus saith Grogan? No. This is thus saith the Lord. The only ones that get to go to heaven are the ones that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Get your name in the book of life. You need to wake up every morning and say, you know what? I'm going to keep my name in that book. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I'm going to ask God to cleanse me. I'm going to ask God to create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. I'm going to die daily. Why? Because I don't want to miss heaven. Heaven's going to be beautiful. The Message says it like this: nothing dirty or defiled will get into the city, and no one who defiles or deceives, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will get in. Heaven's going to be absolutely wonderful. And it's going to be a wonderful house because there'll no longer be no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease, no more partying, no more murderers, no more thieves, no more child abusers, no more deranged maniacs of any kind. Nothing dirty or defiled will get into heaven. Nothing impure will ever enter there. Yes, the sixth wonder of heaven is the wonder of what won't be there. Heartache and pain and anxiety and stress, it won't be there. Thank God for that. Don't have to worry anymore. Don't have to have a nervous breakdown anymore. I'm going to have joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The seventh wonder of heaven. And I finish with this. The seventh, there's so many different wonders, but I just gave you seven. The seventh wonder of heaven is that I want to share with you today is the wonder of who will be in heaven. I just told you who won't be in heaven. But a seventh wonder of heaven is who will be in heaven. Revelations 21, 27 says, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Message, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will get in. We know that God will be there. We know the angels will be there. We know the great men and women of faith will be there. We know Moses and Elijah and Abraham and Sarah and Ruth and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and John the Baptist and Peter and Paul, the heroes of faith. They're going to be there. Christians from every nation will be there. Every race, every kindred, black, yellow, white, green, red, whatever it is. Christians will be there. Our brothers and sisters that have gone on before us, they'll be there. Our loved ones that have been passed on, they'll be there. Family members, children, parents, friends, family. We will all be united together. And for the first time, we will see the Lord's church in all her radiant glory. Because the Lord says, I'm coming back for a church that has made herself ready. I don't know if you ever read Max Lucado, but I've got a lot of Max Lucado books. And Max Lucado describes this moment like this. He says, you may not have noticed it, he says, but you're closer to home than ever before. Each moment is a step taken. Each breath is a page turned. Each day is a mile marked, a mountain climbed. You're closer to home than you've ever been. Before you know it, your appointed arrival time will come. You'll descend the ramp and enter the city. You'll see faces that are waiting for you. You'll hear your name spoken by those who love you. And maybe, just maybe, in the back behind the crowds, the one who would rather die than live without you will remove his nail-pierced hands from his heavenly robe and applaud. He'll applaud you. He will say those wonderful words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in. And I tell you, if heaven didn't have the splendor, if heaven didn't have the lights and all the beauty, if heaven didn't have a mansion there waiting for me, if heaven didn't have the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper, if heaven was just a small space and Jesus was there, that's all I need. Because I'm going for him. You can go for the loaves and fishes and the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the beauty and all of that. And all of that's going to be there. But I'm going to tell you, my wife sings an old song that Jesus will outshine it all. And I'm looking forward to that one day that I held his hand and he looks into my face and says, I love you. I don't know what, you may want to ask all these questions and all these theological questions that go in your mind every day. I could care less. I just want to walk with Dad. And I want Dad to say, he loves me. I really do. There's a movie that has just came out and people have been spending, I don't know how, what it ranks or whatever, but the name of it is I Could Only Imagine. And anybody heard that song before? He wrote that in 10 minutes, I think is what he said. But he had a life that was lived. I think I wrote down, a lot of you could quote it, but I wrote down the lyrics. I could only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I could only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I could only imagine. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of heartache and pain and misery and sickness and disease and disappointments. I'm ready for that land. I'm ready that one day. Anybody want to go there? Anybody excited about a place called heaven? The Lord said, I have prepared a place for you. And I'll come again and I'll receive you. I'm looking forward to heaven. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's stretch our hand towards heaven. Let's just let him know how grateful we are that we've been grafted into this. We weren't born Jews. He loves the Jews, but yet he let the Gentiles in. He forgave me. His blood washed me, cleansed me. Oh, it was amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'm going to a place because of you, Jesus. And today, on a Wednesday night in Tulare, California, I want to raise my hands and raise my voice and thank you for a place that you have designed for me. Oh, would you lift your voice in this house today?
There is calm.
Would you just love him? Would you get your eyes on heaven tonight?
No more clouds.
Hallelujah.
No more tears.
Oh, if you know this song, you ought to sing it. All is peace forever.
Oh,
a brother or a sister. Why don't we sing this together? Come on, let's go together. Let's go to this land together. This place called heaven. Ever do is to take somebody with you. Take your family with you. Take your friends with you. Heaven's a real place. And I want to make sure that I get my mind on heaven. That's why Paul said, think on things that are lovely and honest and good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. You start thinking about heaven, guess what? You're going to start dreaming about heaven. And who knows, God could, like he did to John, God could take you away and you get a revelation. You get to begin to get a glimpse of what heaven's going to look like and what heaven's going to be. And Sister Leek, I'm looking forward to that day, because there's a young man that loved to sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." I'm looking forward to taking his hand and loving on him. Looking forward to being with Brother Leek and all the ones that have gone before us. Heaven's a real place. And I want to be there, don't you? Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Find two or three people. Love one another. Let's go to heaven together. God bless you.